morning, Gloucester.
This is, we are a little bit, we just got done with an awesome podcast with the mayor. And we're taping this on Sunday.
Good morning, Gloucester.
I'm not going to forget to introduce my guest because I was all a Twitter with the mayor, so I forgot to introduce you guys at the last podcast. I got Kim Smith and Toby Pett here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Kim Smith brought us some oatmeal cookies from Cape Ann Coffee, which Toby told us that will be lighting up farts all afternoon. I didn't know that oatmeal made you fart.
Well, that's news to me too, but it is made with a whole bran.
Whole bran. Oats. So it'll be farting whole up a oats. Storm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, well, besides that, they're pretty good.
No, they're fantastic.
Are you kidding me?
They look like manhole covers.
They may be the best oatmeal cookie that I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah, I agree. They're really in the top, top three,
I mean,
I would say.
Not too many raisins. Crunchy enough.
You like a total crunch, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you don't like a soft baked one.
No.
Okay, let's go. Let's go over this. This is what we're gonna talk about. Give me
total crunch.
You would have no. You go for like all crunch. How about on a chocolate chip cookie? Soft bake is out for you.
I would have like total crunch. I could have a teeny tiny bit of softness.
Little give on a chocolate chip cookie, and you're the same way on your oatmeal.
And the same. So oatmeal is total crunch.
All in on the crunch. Toby, how do you go on your chocolate chip cookies first?
Hang on. We were talking about the oatmeal.
I was going to get to that afterwards, so.
But my mind is operating in oatmeal mode.
Okay.
All right. I mean, that particular cookie compared to a lot of people's oatmeal cookies is crunchier.
Yes.
And most people's oatmeal cookies have way more raisins. I like the fact that this cookie has more crunch and less raisins, and that's what appeals to me.
And also, you can taste that it's made with pure butter because it's really good.
Rich,
it's
very rich. And as far as chocolate chip cookies, I would prefer them softer than these.
How do you feel about your chocolate chip and your oatmeal cookies?
Well, I love the. I too, like you guys, I'm a huge fan of the oatmeal cookies at Cape Ann Coffee, but I generally prefer, like, if I'm going for, call those cookies? The Pepperidge Farm? Okay. You know, there's the cookies that they have, and you get the soft bake one versus the not safe bake one. I generally would go soft bake.
No.
No? No. Well, Paul Morrison, I think, was the same way. I think Paul Morrison liked his chocolate chip cookies hard.
Really crunchy.
I think I did a post saying, what kind of savage wants a hard chocolate chip cookie compared to... Very critical. We went from the mayor and the resignation and the ups and downs and the candid interview that she gave us to talking about farts and the crunch.
The fine details of crunching cookies.
And
well,
cookies.
You know something?
That's what we bring.
Part of the answer there is if you can just go to the supermarket and get a Pepperidge Farm cookie that meets your specifications, good for you. Then you're lucky. But this particular cookie that Kim brought us this morning from Cape Ann Coffees is definitely different and worth it.
Yeah, and also, should we just mention the size, too? They're about 4.5 inches in diameter.
Yeah, it's big as a manhole cover.
Yeah, there's a huge... The winner of last week's new podcast subscriber contest for the Cape Ann mug, Cape Pond Ice mug, that Donna Artizzoni so generously donated.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, too.
Yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's very sharp looking. I like it. I love all the snowflakes on it.
It's wonderful. is... Da-da-da.
Da-da-da.
All right, I have to look it up.
Oh, that was anticlimactic.
Anticlimactic. I'm going to look it up. Hold on. I have it written down. I just have to pull it up here. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, 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 ding. And it is, who do you think it was?
Oh, I have no idea. Is it somebody who comments or reads the blog regularly?
You have to subscribe.
Yeah, no, she had to subscribe.
It's a contest.
It was.
No, I know that, but is it somebody's name I'd recognize?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. Pauline Brezhnahan.
Oh,
Pauline's
Gifts.
Pauline's Gifts. Excellent gift. One of the best gift shops in Gloucester.
I love Pauline.
I think the coolest thing that she does, there's a million things you can get there, knickknacks and stuff. Well, the cool thing about what she does, she can hand paint anything onto like mailboxes, so she could really personalize gifts for people.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. Pauline Bresnahan, you can come down the dock and pick up your fantastic Cape Pond Ice. Coolest guys around mug donated by Donna Artizzoni. You can check out Donna Artizzoni's work at Donna Artizzoni, artizzonephotography.com.
Very nice.
And you know, you can also contact. You can buy. Donna will sell you any of her photos, and she's very reasonable. Her prices are. She gives the stuff away. Next week's gift for the one of the first 10 subscribers will be this book donated by Carol J. Perry, which is Pete Mondello's mother-in-law, based out of the North Shore. Caught Dead-Handed: A Witch City Mystery. There's that, and it's two-part.
Can you pass the book here?
Yeah, here's the book. And the other gift, it's going to be two things that you're going to get, is this Fish City Gloucester t-shirt. And it's one of those comfort colors, high quality t-shirts that the people that
garment dyed,
the schooner head kind of type of people would love to wear.
It's garment dyed.
You know, because they've been in the salt water has given it that. At one point, this was a deep navy blue, but because they've been out on the seas for so long, weathering storms, that this garment dyed. But this really wasn't garment dyed. It's made to look that way. One of Fred's awesome Fish City Gloucester fish of all kinds, fresh from the sea t-shirts. We'll put a picture so you can get a true appreciation for how awesome it is.
Who is that from, did you say?
Fred Bowden.
Okay.
Fish City.
Yeah, okay. Fred Bowden.
One of the t-shirts that he has prepared for his shop.
You can buy them there.
So if you really like it, you go down and buy some for yourself, your family, your friends.
Yes, and also people, he tells me all the time that people buy them and like he sees them 10 years later and they wear like they're really high quality
like
t-shirts.
Nice.
So there you get that. I want to speak a couple things, pet peeves of people. I like other people to point out how stupid I am, because this is a topic that we forgot to talk about last week, but my habitual grammar and spelling mistakes that I make on the blog that I had no idea about.
At least you're consistent.
Consistently, I'm a consistent idiot.
Right.
I don't always. No. Consistent idiot.
Well, he makes some of the same mistakes again and again.
Again and again and again. One of them being et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
You even say, the reason why you're confused is because you say et cetera. Et cetera when it's et cetera.
Et cetera.
So that,
because I'm that big of an idiot.
No, but
yes.
If you remember how you say it,
B-E-T-C.
After it was explained to me by Nicole Schraff, because she says she grinds her teeth thinking about how every time I write it out improperly. Kim, how would you have let that slid all those years and never brought that up?
I just don't, you know, I'm not going to sometimes
point out how big of an idiot I am.
No, but sometimes
I feel like Michael Jackson. No, he had all these people around him coddling and telling him how wonderful he is. Turns into a complete idiot.
Listen, if you make this is my little rule. If you make a mistake in the spelling of the headline, then I point it out to you. But if it's because. But
the
if
one
it's
of
just,
a thousand ones that I write into my blog post during the course of a week.
But if it's in the post, then, I just let it go. I don't want to call you out
on
it.
We try to be effective as critics, Joey, because we point out some of the big ones. But you have so many opportunities. If we just kept on swinging at you, you'd be upset.
Last week, during the podcast, I think I mentioned this Melody of Flavors.
Medley.
Which should have been a Medley of Flavors. A Melody of Flavors that came out.
Wow.
Another complete dopey thing. What was the one we were just talking about? We talked about another one, not just, I don't know.
Melody is the one that I pointed out last week.
Right. Yeah,
that's that's the one that's most humorous one most recently.
One of many, many.
But, I proofread my posts and I proofread them and I proofread them and then I post and then 2 hours later I look at it and I go, oh my God, look what I did. And then I just run back in and correct it. So
no.
I'm sure you don't have time to reread your posts.
Having to do 10 proofread a day is important in a lot of cases. In Joey's case, he'll tell you right. that he's pounding things out.
Right. There's no proof
And when you copy and paste some of those announcements in the body of the announcement, it could say Joey Scimitaro is the biggest idiot in the world, and he wouldn't even notice.
That's exactly right. Right. And this is going to lead me to my next topic, because the...
perfect segue.
It is a perfect segue. And I didn't realize it this at the time, but it's a perfect segue. you know, there's certain people that take shots at the Gloucester Daily Times, just, and it's usually people that are really, when you stand back and you look at the people, they generally,
pot shots at everybody.
Idiots. Yeah, they just, you know, no one can do anything. They just sit back. They're not producing people. They're the people that take shots at everybody but do nothing. Right. And so these people, that some of the habitual criticisms of the Gloucester Daily Times is that they constantly make spelling errors, and they should never make spelling errors ever, and stuff like that. And we all make errors.
Right.
And, you know, and you want to hold the paper to a higher standard, but I don't notice, you know, it's anything to a degree where you say, you shut down the paper, it's not worth buying, it's ridiculous, right? So we touched on this in Mayor Kirk's article, and it really bothered me. The email that I got from Sean Horgan, he's a writer for the Gloucester Daily Times. I don't know if he was born here or not, and I don't know how long he's been.
He's an experienced long-term reporter, not just for the Gloucester Times.
Yeah, he wrote in his email. He's written for the
lot of different
Dallas paper,
Hartford
Indianapolis,
Current, right.
Hartford Current. He's a well-regarded, you know, seasoned veteran in the newspaper world. But if he says he reads the Gloucester Good Morning Gloucester daily, but if he had read the Good Morning Gloucester daily, he would know that I steadfastly defended. And supported the Gloucester Daily Times
many times
and said, you know, local newspapers are critical to communities like ours, and he took offense in his thing. It's like, if you don't like, what did he say here?
He thought you were taking a shot.
He thought I was taking a shot at with my headline. Of check out the Gloucester Daily Times for the worst kept secret around, that Mayor Kirk is resigning. He took that out, that he says, you don't like the newspaper? Fine, I've been doing this for 35 years all over the country. But it's your right to, you know, to rag on your local rag. But don't denigrate honest effort and people just doing their job. And that was not the point. My point of that headline was not at, and not even a little bit, to take a shot at the Times. My point was, if you want to read about the story, go to the Times, because, you know, they'll have the facts on it. And I would never suggest that they shouldn't report on it. Of course they're going to report on it.
When I read your headline, I just laughed out loud. I thought it was just funny, because it is such a poorly kept secret.
Well,
and
look,
so
is Mayor Kirk
it was
acknowledged in the podcast that we did, she had to, after she made her decision, she had to assemble a team to help with the exit.
Transition.
And then transition. And she openly acknowledged that's how people began to know.
That's how the rumor started.
Right.
Right.
So when you say it was a worst kept secret, it was, because she's been at it for weeks and weeks and weeks.
No, right. I wasn't trying to make a shot that, you know, the Times didn't report it when they should have reported it. I wasn't taking a shot at him.
Right.
I was frustrated because last week at the Good Morning Gloucester Christmas party, she said, holiday party. she said to me, I want to do the podcast about my intention to resign, and I said, great, let's do it in a couple of days, and then she called me last week, and she said, let's do it. And she's at the time that she could do it and I could do it, I couldn't do it because I had to offload boats. I have a business to run.
Right. At 2:30 in the afternoon, you're in the thick of things.
And I was frustrated about that, because I was happy that she was going to confide in me ahead of time and we're going to be able to run it before anyone else. Well, actually, not until the Baker campaign made the announcement. That's what she requested. And So I was really frustrated about that. But in my frustration, because once the Times, you know, had the story and stuff like that, and I was working hard that day, and everybody was emailing me, you got to put the post up. You got to put the post about the mayor resigning. She put it on her Facebook page. I think she was on the Facebook page the day before that.
The Times
even had the story.
Okay.
So I was mad at myself for not being able to get that podcast done ahead of time, because that would have been really cool for Good Morning Gloucester.
Can you imagine having your work get in the way?
Right. So that's where that headline, check out the Gloucester Daily Times for the worst kept secret around, that's where it emanated from. My frustration with myself, not with taking a shot at
anyway,
the Times.
Anyway, Sean, we love you. We know that the newspaper is very important, not only in this community, but to every community. It acts as a great mirror to keep the elected officials honest. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry he felt that way.
It wasn't a shot.
It was absolutely not a shot. As a matter of fact, I emailed him back with 4 different posts where I talked about how important I think a local newspaper is.
So you guys are going to get together for a draft beer and...
We have to get that done. I really enjoy media people. I love my friends at WBZ in Boston. I like a lot of PR people. I mean, John Mecklen is one of my close friend and stuff, and confidant. And there's a lot of people that I really enjoy. Every level of my schooling, I worked for every newspaper, school newspaper that there was.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Grade school, middle school, high school, college. I worked for. I was involved in each one of those publications and stuff.
So it's in your blood.
I'd say. I mean, I like creating it. I'm not the best writer, but I have a nose for. I don't know. We try to have fun anyway. But yesterday.
Well, I just want to add that, like Toby pointed out, you are a great facilitator and that is, I think that's part of the, you know, what makes Good Morning Gloucester so special. Not to, you know, toot our own horn, but you are the chief of the, you know, I call you chief. You are basically our editor-in-chief, and so that's what... you're very, very, very talented at being a tremendous facilitator, and it's a very positive thing for our community in so many levels.
Well, like I say all the time, I'm pretty good at it. But when you have people that are in the pulling in the same direction and in a positive direction, it makes that easy. Teamwork.
TEAM.
Team.
That's right.
There is no I in team.
That's exactly right. We should talk about the Nutty Redhead. Two days ago, she posted, I'm running out of time, and I think she was like $1,500
away from her
goal of her second round at stab at Kickstarter. We posted it, and within a day, she
achieved her goal.
She achieved her day. So
congratulations,
happy we could help
Lisa.
Her. Someone wrote a nasty gram like, "Oh, let's see, I gotta help you pay for a business so you can sell me some product." People are mean.
But
I'm happy with that all happened.
Yeah, that's very exciting.
Psyched for her. Yesterday, the big news, I was with my girls, so I didn't hit all my posts yesterday, which is not like me. I was with my girls. When I'm with my girls, I generally try to pre-schedule things for when they're not here, so when I'm with them, I'm not really paying attention to the blog that much.
That's okay. You're allowed.
But the big story yesterday, I think you had 3 posts about this dog, Benji.
Benji, now.
And the neglectful owners. I mean, no, I didn't mean to say that.
No, don't take that.
What happened with this dog, though?
Okay, so Benji, from what I've been able to piece together from everybody's comments, Benji was given to a family, and so it was a second
owner. Left on a doorstep? How was it given?
No, I think it was like a real adoption.
Was it in like one of those baskets?
I don't.
A wicker basket?
I don't
like
know.
Like baby Jesus?
Sent down the Euphrates River, right. Just like Moses. Yes.
Baby Jesus.
Well, however, he arrived at the family's doorstep within 5 minutes of owning him. Before they had a chance to put a collar on, he bolted out the door. He just bolted. And that little dog is a little rocket. So how old is the dog about? Is it a puppy? Is it a tiny dog? No, it's tiny. It's like, you know, half the size of our Scottish Terrier. It's like...
That's a tiny dog. Yeah, is that full size or is it just because it's a puppy that's that
small? No, I think it's a full-grown dog.
And what's the name of the breed?
It's a Scottish... It's a Westie mix. So it has a little bit of West Highland Terrier in it, but it's also, you know, a mixture of other
things. I briefly saw a picture. It was white, all white?
Yes. Well, not quite. It's got like a little brown ear or something. It's very cute. The picture of it that was on the Lost and Found pages on the blog.
If you're into cute dogs, it seemed like a cute dog.
He's very, very sweet.
Worthy of three posts.
Okay. So I know. So, well, listen to what happened. So we're down at Braces, and this woman comes up and she says, "Do you know who's this dog this is?" The dog was following this woman and her dog on the beach. And so I said no, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And so then she went off, and I'm telling my husband, I think we're going to be taking a little doggy home with us to help find its owner, because we're in prime coyote territory. We're on Braces Cove.
Huge coyote territory. I'm shocked.
Right.
And the dog had been...
Right, it's shocking to me that...
It's been 10 days?
11 days.
11 days.
On the run.
Shocked.
So anyways, at one point I tried to scoop it up, and it ran ahead. Then this other family came up on the beach and they said, "Have you seen a little white dog? Because this lady who's driving around in a white Volkswagen is, you know, asking everybody if they've seen a little white dog." And I said, "Yes, the dog's right up there on the berm." So then this family and I started to run to go find the dog, and I'm calling Benji now because we know the dog's name.
How did you know the name's dog? Oh, because the white people in the white truck car?
The people in the white. So Benji. So it kind of stops at the berm, and so I get really close, and I go to pick it up, and it growls. It zooms past at like 90 miles an hour, and then it growls. And I was like, oh, you know.
You don't get rabies.
Right. The first reaction when a dog growls at you is you don't like jump in and try to pick it up. So
I don't jump in when it's purring. I don't jump in.
So my poor husband is way back down the beach. So then I start running through the wooded area where there's a path to follow Benji, because now Benji's like leaving the beach and going back towards the road that BMO's, you know, he's going back towards St. Louis. Yeah, he's going back towards that direction. Well, I followed him all the way. This other family, we all followed him. Nobody could catch up with him. So, but he went from, he was downtown, he was spotted on Rocky Neck. He was at Bill O'Connor's house on Rocky Neck. He was on Grapevine Road, spotted on Grapevine Road, multiple times, and then also for 11 days he was running. And he was just running, you know, at 90 miles an hour. I don't know what he did for food for 11 days.
Roads.
I don't know.
Small children.
I'm surprised he wasn't somebody's.
I'm shocked. Over by Braces Cove.
Me too.
Braces Cove.
Right, whatever. Where
it was.
It was just extraordinary. So anyways, he was found on Friends Street yesterday, and he's safe and sound from what I understand. So we'd love to.
Could they give them back to those neglectful owners?
No, don't say that. I think
it's a joke.
I think they already feel very embarrassed.
No,
and
that stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, it happens.
My kids all the time.
I tried to make a comment. We had a dog that was a rescue dog, and it was a bolter. And it would just, my daughter and I have memories of running down East Main Street in our pajamas at 7 o'clock in the morning chasing our dog because we were so worried.
Who, Rosie the River?
This was
Cosmo?
This was Daisy, our first Scottish Terrier, Daisy. And also, he bolted one day when we were I was packing to get ready
for
a trip.
If you hadn't been beating the dog, it probably wouldn't have bolted.
But listen to where he was found. He was found on an ice floe in the middle of the harbor.
What?
Yeah, so when dogs
wanted to get away from the ice.
When dogs are bolters, there's like nothing you can do. Now, I don't know if it's because he was a male or a rescue dog.
So there you go, Benji. Did you wrap that up? Or are you just more?
Yes, but Benji is safe and sound and not given to neglectful owners, as far as I can understand.
We're just joking. Yeah.
No, they're embarrassed and they shouldn't be. We all understand what it's like to have a dog.
It happens all the time,
especially with. I think it happens with rescue dogs.
I think Nicole Schraff said all the time her children, You know, didn't she say that last podcast that her kids are always
bolting? Nicole, I hope you're not listening right now.
Running out into the traffic and stuff?
No.
You know how I met John McElhenney the first time I ever met him? I'd never been introduced to him.
No,
to.
How?
And he's a good friend of mine now.
Right.
I was pulling into the Friendly's parking lot with my children, my white pickup truck at the time. And he got out of his truck in he had this big white, like, rubber rain jacket on. It was rain pouring out. Right. And one of his kids, like, got away from him.
Aww.
And, like,
And you were chased.
And the kid's right up there, right?
Yeah, behind. So they got away from him, and I stopped the truck and everything, but I never let him forget. Every time I see his kids, I tell him, you know the first time I met you, because they were really little, I says, yeah, you know how I met you the first time? You were underneath my tire, and I just hit the brakes in time because your father was neglectful, and you got out of his side.
Never let him
and I tell my kids
down.
That too. Oh, another neglectful parent, Randy O'Neill. So he's not. We know Jacob. But so I'm walking. You know the harvest markets at the UU Church.
Yes.
I'm walking from there to the library entrance, and Randy O'Neill is in his car, and he just put his baby in the car, and there was a. Baby bottle on top of the car, and he's pulling out.
Oh, no.
And I said to my daughters, I says, imagine if that was the baby and he forgot the baby up there. So every time I tell the story from here on out, it's, he left the baby in the car seat on top of the car, and he pulled out, and the baby luckily landed upright. And so we tell that story.
I mean, almost everyone's got a story like that. I have some friends of mine that they go hunting on a regular basis, and one time they all piled in their truck. And the dogs were tied to the bumper still. They hadn't loaded
what?
The dog. And so we
did they die?
No, they were fine. They realized their error. But they were so charged up and anxious to go, they had... So people do this.
I know. I have a terrible mom story, but I'll probably... Enough. I would never tell you.
It's probably not. Unless you want to brought up every podcast.
Right, I'll never tell you.
You may not want to.
Look who just arrived.
Frankie Cellino just showed up. He's got about a 2-day growth going on right now.
That's three.
3-day growth.
Yeah, I'm lazy.
Are you on vacation right now?
No. I'm just lazy. Actually, I've been off since Wednesday. Yes. I guess you could say that.
So you don't like
Thursday was Christmas.
You don't like to shave?
I hate to shave. I don't like beards either, so I'm kind of stuck in between.
Does your face get itchy if you don't shave?
Not like this. You've seen me with a beard before. When it gets longer, it gets itchy.
Not a good look.
Yeah.
No, if I don't shave twice a day,
yeah,
like my face, I get itchy. I get ingrown hairs.
You shave twice a day?
Yeah, I shave. I shower twice a day. I shower when I get home from work, and I shower
at
3 o'clock in the morning. What?
Yeah,
I can understand the two showers, but
two shavings.
I shave because I want. I don't want the skin to grow over and have. Ingrown hairs and infections.
Those can be those can get infected very easily.
That's what I'm saying. That's horrifying. Yeah. It's terrible. It's very terrible.
I know that would keep me up at night.
Michael.
Yes, sir.
What are your thoughts on the next Good Morning Gloucester stickers? What colors are we thinking? Have you and Shu been in discussions about this?
No. You know, every time I suggest a color to him, he says, you know what? I really like this one or I really like that one. I'm like, you know. Whatever. You do what you want.
Kim, what do you think for the next color? What would be interesting to you?
Well, I love it. I personally do not care so much for the red. I like it when there's blue or gray. I think that is very beautiful.
Navy blue and gray are my favorite ones.
Yeah, I like that. A French blue is really pretty too.
What's French blue?
Well, it's kind of like a Brittany blue or
I don't know.
Of course.
if you could just see Joey's eyes roll up into his head.
I'm sorry.
Is that like a North Carolina blue?
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
It's like a Carolina blue. It's my favorite color.
Oh, okay. You call it
it's a little bit lighter than this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Carolina blue. Look at the back of that thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Carolina blue is my favorite color. North Carolina blue.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Sort of like
the Tar Heels, basketball uniform.
It's very similar to Lake Como in Italy, the color of the water there.
Is that right?
Why
I'd
do
like
you,
to go.
Why do you call it North Carolina blue?
The North Carolina Tar Heels, their basketball uniforms, is that color.
Color.
And you, if you look at if
Okay.
That's an actual color.
Okay, well, let's see, it's, you know, pretty similar to what I'm just...
I like that, but I don't know about that for a color on the bumper sticker. It's too light. And it's not going to pop against the white. Take
this color and just bring it up a little bit. You can take the same value. It doesn't have to have so much, you know, black in it that navy does. You just bring it up a little bit. Deepen it a little bit.
So like a medium.
No.
Deepen it up a little bit.
No.
No.
He was just asking our opinion.
I also have veto power. You have to understand that, Toby.
Well, I mean, since the rainbow concept was discussed this morning in the podcast with the mayor, maybe
We'd be huge with the gays.
Well, I'm just saying in general. I mean, I hadn't thought of it. It was just, it's in my head because of...
I'm not opposed to that idea. I have a feeling the production of that would be very different.
Too many
these
colors.
Guys are actually using ink and colors and stuff.
Yeah. Well... Yeah.
So it's not that I'm not vetoing that idea.
Right.
I just don't think it would be practical for these guys to do this for us.
Have you ever done it like a bright yellow or?
It doesn't show up on the white.
Yellow wouldn't show up. Yeah.
The only other color we tried, we did some white on black vinyl, so it was a black background.
Right.
They faded.
White ink. And they faded.
Faded. Those are the ones that faded the most.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I like that. My favorite ones are still to this day the navy blue with a gray wing.
Yeah.
How about seafoam green?
Oh, I think we did a green one at one time.
I don't know that we did.
Bring back your
phone. I'm going to say something. No. Hear me out. Toby might be onto something.
Okay.
By the time these get produced and we start disseminating them, it might be right around St. Patrick's Day, if we do a Kelly green with a gray wing, what are you thinking? Like a dark, maybe not a Kelly green, maybe like a dark green. For St. Patty's Day.
Why do I want to say that?
I like your idea. I don't want to be rude, but that isn't my favorite color. That wouldn't be my favorite color.
What about the? Well, because you're not Irish. Because you're a ginger. You don't think the green would be a contrast with your red hair?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like
doesn't
it.
Doesn't hit you. It's okay.
No.
Let me see. What are you talking
and
about?
And green is. I think green is. Isn't green one of the most unstable?
It's
got
to be dark. You have to. You've got to get this in your head. It's got to be dark because it's got to contrast with the white.
So it pops. I read that for house paint and stuff like that. Green is one of the most unstable colors. I don't know. Probably
red's the most unstable. Red is the one to fade the most, isn't it?
Most, yeah.
Reds and maroons.
Red.
Yeah.
Right here, this one, all the way to the right. Yeah.
Kelly green.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll leave it. I always like to leave it up to you guys and see what you come up with.
We'll take it into consideration.
French blue.
Well, you know, I played around with some stuff before. I got this... this stock was it looked like a mirror, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. So I put some transparent blue on it.
I loved it. Did you have
those? There's a handful of those around.
I still have some of those.
Are you talking about the ones you gave us?
The blue, yeah.
Yeah, I still liked them. Those a lot.
They were we only gave those to super VIPs.
And the gold ones. It's
and there's some silver ones too.
Oh, all right.
Silver with navy blue, you did
right,
too.
Right. Yeah.
There was silver. There was light blue, and there was gold.
You know how this all started is where I work. I work for a printing outfit, obviously. Somebody made a mistake and cut a big pile of stock that was like bumper sticker. You could use it for bumper stickers.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't intended for that, and they were hanging on. They had it for like a year and a half. And they're like, "What are we gonna do with this stuff?" I'm like, "Hey, I have an idea."
Right.
And that's how that first
batch came out.
And then I said to the materials guy, this is like a year or two later, I'm like, hey, what do you got for oddball stuff that you want to get rid of? Because, you know, you can only hang on to the stuff for so long. That is, that's because they have to inventory it.
Yeah, just try it out, cracks.
And that's where the gold ones came. He goes, I got a handful of this gold material. You want to try that? I'm like, yeah, give me that. I'll try it. What do I care? They ain't for me.
I almost like, you see the new hats. I like the idea that the dark charcoal with the white and the blue and then deep blue.
Yeah,
that looks sharp too.
Yeah, that would look sharp.
I don't know if it's possible.
This part, you mean the dark, the wing? You want the wing dark?
Yeah. That looks so nice.
Like that right, background so is the is dark the charcoal,
with the dark.
And then the blue inside of the rays, I see. And then the white is the white is the negative.
He keeps talking team, but then he has veto power. It's what he wants in the end.
No, but you have to have that executive control. Okay, for example, team. Paulie Walnuts puts up a stupid post today, and that gets vetoed. All right. And when they did the stupid post last week with the girl twerking, saying that's Joey's favorite Christmas video.
Oh, did that?
I'm going through a divorce. And he puts a stupid thing like that, and some people don't understand. That's not me putting it up there. And I didn't even see it till the next day. I have to take it down. Like the stupidity. I mean, sometimes I love Paulie, but sometimes he just goes off the rails, and he should .
Paul,
I shouldn't have to explain this to you. So today he puts up Cox for mayor with a picture of Melissa Cox. I get he thinks it's funny and everything, but like
people don't take it the right way.
Then you've endorsed Melissa Cox. How come you're not endorsing this person? How come you're not endorsing? And
you're gonna get 20 emails.
Melissa's a friend, but she could say. You know, everybody takes everything so personally and say, "Oh well, why did you take that down, Joey? You're not my friend. You think that I'm like, I don't need this."
The pressures of being Joey C.
It's all good. Yeah. So
lighten up.
Lighten up, Francis.
Now, where is that from?
That's from one of the best movies of all time.
All time stripes. Oh my God!
One of the best.
I've used that quite a few times.
You're not familiar with it?
No.
Oh my God! It's great.
Yeah.
Stripes.
Tremendous. Harold Ramis.
Yeah. Dead. He passed away this year.
Yep. Dead. Mother Jew.
Yeah.
Dead.
Do we have any more topics?
Oh.
Well, you got one coming up?
You know, like we just talked about Benji.
Well, I
can see your eyes glazing over.
Right. I just had one thing to bring up. It's minor.
Go ahead.
I thought it was interesting. In the Boston Globe, some of us read the print media.
We have to coddle these people that think they're taking shots at them.
But on Christmas Day, the Boston Globe had this particular picture. And for a lot of people, it would have zero meaning to them, and they just barely even give it 2 seconds.
Yeah, that means nothing to me.
Right, and it probably means nothing to you as well, Kim. But it is a picture of a gentleman by the name in the information of Christopher Swain, a teacher from Marblehead, who swam 149 miles, in this case, in the Mohawk River. Well, Chris, he grew up here in Gloucester, and he lived here in Gloucester for a long time. And I think the reason why the main reason he's in Marblehead now is his mother lives there, his sister lives there, so, you know, they're close family. He's a river activist. I mean, but he was a Gloucester guy. He grew up and he just wanted to call attention. He has swum the entire length of the Hudson River. He has swum the entire length of the Columbia River out in, like, Oregon. And he does all of these things to raise awareness about, you know, how people misuse, basically how people, corporations and people end up using our rivers as toilets, just... that sort of thing.
The government's done a lot to clean up.
I understand.
I mean, compared to today, there hasn't been tremendous strides in cleaning up these riverways and waterways.
But I got to tell you something. There are even farmers. Okay, you never think about farmers as polluting. All right. If you have a little creek that runs down to the ocean here, if you put the wrong kind of fertilizer on your lawn, and that rinses into the brook, which runs into the ocean or a pond, it pollutes. I just thought it was interesting that a kid that grew up here in Gloucester that definitely had some Gloucester connections, I think at some point in his life, his direction was formulated, his sensitivity to his environment around it. It had a big picture in the Globe, that's all.
Does anybody want to hear about another one of my failures as considering myself the editor of Good Morning Gloucester?
What is it?
Yesterday was the plunge for Pete Freitas. I've known about this for months.
Right.
And I knew I couldn't go because I had my daughters, and I checked out of the blog world because I have the girls.
Right.
And I meant to send out an email to the team, say, hey, this is an important event. It's happening in Gloucester. The thing has gone so viral. It's gone all over the world. This strikeout ALS, and I never sent out the email. for one of our contributors to go down to Good Harbor Beach and cover it.
I heard about it after the fact. When I got home, Tom said, "Wow, you should have seen."
I totally screwed up. Felicia actually emailed me and says, "You know the thing plans for Pete's tomorrow. You got to have someone to do it." And I'm like, once I get the girls, it's just I'm like.
According to my husband, there was a tremendous crowd down there. Like, huge. It was huge.
I think they said 500. They estimated 500.
It was all over the Channel 4, Channel 5.
Yeah, ESPN covered it. It was going to be huge. And we should have had a presence there, and we didn't. So that goes on my shoulders. Big failure there. Along with my misspelling of et cetera. A lot. That was the other one. And medley, a melody of flavors as opposed to a medley of flavors. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you do a search for the term A-L-O-T, one word on Good Morning Gloucester, I'm going to say the over-under on that word, which is not a word, and all attributed to me on the blog, I'm going to say 500. And that's conservative because I've used a lot, A-L-O-T,
a bunch.
A lot of times I have used it. There is no such, so for those people,
properly done and written, it is a space lot.
Right. That, which meaning many.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
And I have messed that up. Thank you for correcting me on that, Kim.
Well, you know what? If you want me to be the correcting police, I'll be happy to be the correcting
police. The editor.
The editor, yeah.
I would not mind if you sent Joey, okay. This is really stupid here. Joey, this makes you really look stupid on this one, Joey.
Well, that's what I've tried to do with it, as I said, with titles, but I didn't want to, like, nitpick. So.
You didn't want to make me. Do you think I'm not? Do you think I don't have enough confidence that I couldn't take that criticism?
No, but
do you think I would just throw myself out the window because I'm a terrible scope?
I think you have a very strong skin. I also think you're very, very busy too. So that's what I was thinking about more. So
not me. I just can't spell.
Do you think the reason why a lot of people are intimidated for writing is because they can't write, or they think that they can't write?
Because they think they can't write. And there is an art to writing. I think that I think your approach is very straightforward and direct and very
I don't
to
follow,
the point.
A lot of times I don't follow grammar for a reason.
Right.
Like I'll, use... Right.
Expressions or terms.
I'll start sentences with and.
Yes.
I mean?
Because that's a different type of writing. That's very, it's almost like you're talking writing.
Yeah.
But I do think it is a little daunting to people. But rightly so, because it's not a whole lot of fun to read something that just has, like, you can forgive an article that has one or two grammatical problems, but when every other sentence has a giant grammar issue that's difficult for the reader. That's not being very respectful to the reader.
Yeah.
So,
we can't do.
You wouldn't like anything I wrote then.
Anybody want to read?
Well, as content creators as we are, it's our job to try to make things as grammatically correct as we're able to.
Yeah.
So,
Does anybody want to read? What the sign that Madeline wrote about me?
I'll read it. Dad has a big butt.
But it's spelled B-U-T. So
that has a big
butt.
But you know what? I think to little kids, I think every adult butt is big to little from a little kid's perspective. You know, because half the time they're looking at butts. You know what I mean?
I love big butts and I cannot lie.
They're like at butt level.
Right.
So.
Seven to nothing, Buffalo.
Oh, Toby with his Patriots, Buffalo. Interesting.
Well, that's who they're playing today.
I wonder if they're setting anyone.
Jeez.
Frank, what's for lunch?
7 to nothing.
I don't know.
You didn't eat that?
No.
Pizza? You hungry?
I didn't feed him enough.
That's a possibility. I don't know.
Frank, this was full.
The a la Tejana. Toby, did you get that down in New Bedford?
You know I brought it back.
Toby was in New Bedford, went to Antonio's.
That was your a la Tejana? Sorry, I didn't try it.
Oh,
yeah.
So good.
All right.
I went to Antonio's, which is one of my favorite spots anywhere.
It was fantastic.
It's in New Bedford. And we ordered a couple of different meals, and I brought Joey back some. That's all.
Yeah, nice
breakfast. Because I think about him.
There you go.
And his well-being.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have any food experiences this week they want to talk about?
Yeah,
since 2 days ago.
You went to Captain Hook's?
And I had the Arancini.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, they're not Felicia's, obviously, but they were very good, I got to say.
Oh, my God.
People rave about those all the time.
Yeah.
Food experiences. This week?
I think we already discussed Christmas and Christmas Eve.
We discussed this 2 days ago in our podcast 2 days ago. I haven't had any since then.
And you still haven't come through with the turkey sandwich that you promised.
It's all gone. And why would I give it to you when you trashed my turkey dinner so badly? Why would I ever share it?
What was interesting to me again was that within 20 minutes. You and Mark Ring both told me you were having turkey for Christmas dinner.
You did more than that.
Do you have turkey on Christmas, Frank Bichelino?
No. See,
he shook his head. He's looking at me like I got three heads.
Yeah, well, traditionally, if I eat it on my side of the family, we have turkey. And my mother-in-law's side, they have spaghetti. Homemade ravioli, homemade spaghetti.
Nice. For Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving.
Oh, that sounds.
What about
wonderful.
For Christmas?
Christmas, same meal. If we eat it,
you have turkey on Christmas.
No, we don't eat turkey on Christmas.
See,
Christmas Eve.
See, I'll never share it with you.
Christmas Eve, and my family, my side of the family, gets together, and there's all kinds of stuff. You know, the olives with the
olives gonzada.
Yes, my favorite.
Yeah,
and
garlic.
This time we had. There was fish, baked stuffed shrimp, all my favorites.
stuffed shrimp.
There was steak tips, and my nephew made rice. It came out really good. Almost like Chinese pork fried rice kind of thing, but really good. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Spaghetti.
Very nice, very nice. Yes. Was Santa good too?
Yeah. As good as a...
Let me guess what you got. I want three guesses. Can I have three guesses?
You can have as many guesses as you want. This is your show.
Are you ready?
Sure.
A power tool.
Nope.
No.
No power tools, no.
Something for your truck.
Nope. Not even a gas card. No.
Oh, wow. It stumped me now.
Yeah.
Last guess. Pair of socks.
Nope.
All right. Wow. I'm shocked because are you in the past?
Yeah, that's usually what I
do. You got like a vacuum cleaner or a lawnmower or something like that.
Something that reminds me that I need to work when I'm home. But I got a nice North Face jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I got a gift card to Home Depot. So you were close.
Oh, he was close.
You were close.
But
didn't get a dinner. Oh, that's totally. Are you kidding me? Didn't give me that.
Is that a power tool?
That's not a power tool, but that.
That is the same.
For all intents and purposes, I nailed it on the first try.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Really? I had to spell it out.
Yeah.
Was Santa good to you?
Was that?
Was Santa good to you?
You know, Santa was good to me in this way. I had. People that I had my girls with me, and I had people that really friendly and loving around me the whole time, and there was no tension, and there was no.
That's nice.
That's
better than any material.
Yeah.
Didn't care about gifts.
Yeah.
I didn't get a whole lot of gifts from anything.
Good friends, family, and good food.
Yep.
Hard to argue with.
Totally. Yeah. I would take a giftless Christmas. With no bullshit
over anything else.
And I'm not saying that was the case in the past. I'm not trying to take shots at anyone or anything like that.
That's part of the reason why some people really love Thanksgiving. It's not just for the turkey dinner, but it's because there is no gift giving.
Yeah.
Basically, and so it is. Usually friends,
you know,
and
something
family.
You're absolutely right. And you can and Thanksgiving generally is more laid back, and you go and you watch football all afternoon. Yeah. That is a great.
That's
a great holiday.
That's part of the reason, I think, part of the charm of that holiday.
Oh, here's a topic. Here's two more topics we got. One topic is where do you guys fall on New Year's Eve? Are you guys big New Year's Eve? Go out and celebrate.
Amateur night.
We never usually used to because our anniversary is the day before on the 30th, but now we just combine. now we just combine it, New Year's Eve with our anniversary. So
so you do try to stay up for New Year's Eve?
Yes. My husband already stays up. I told you he goes to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I'm gonna try to get to Rockport for the New Year's Rockport. Yeah, well, how about you, Toby?
A lot of fun.
Amateur hour for you?
Well, basically it is. I don't stay up late. I'm usually an early riser. So
do you like to try to do something, get together with
people? Well, I expect to get together with some friends who are hosting a little get-together, but I will go early. I will celebrate with them. It's, again, one of those evenings of tasting little goodies and a glass of wine or two, and that's it.
Over or under 10 o'clock? You in bed by 10 o'clock?
I'll probably be in bed.
How about you? Over or under 10 o'clock, Frank Shalino?
Probably past 10 o'clock, because my sister always has a
big shindig.
Yeah, and it's just a bunch of people in my sister's house. No matter what time, I always meet somebody new. Even if I popped over there right now, I bet you there's a new face there. She's got like Grand Central Station over there. But they got a lot of good food, and the people are always nice and everything. But this year, I got to work all day Wednesday. I mean, I got to start.
I got to work too.
I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know?
I'm with you.
And you know how hard that's going to be? If I come home, just take a nap. I don't know. You know what?
The best, I'm going to give you my best, the best New Year's Eve for me would be, well, I got the girls, so we're going to have some fun. We're going to do the Rockport thing, but be a nice meal, hang out, watch some part of some type of parade or whatever, and literally be in bed before 10 would be, is just.
See, that would be fine with me. Can you talk to my wife?
Yeah, well, there's no reason for the kids to kind of sneak out early and open up presents like there would be on Christmas morning either. Yeah. So if you get them to bed at the right time, it's going to be a normal day.
If you think about it, it's fun when you're with a group of people to, do the countdown and everything. But really, you've done it once.
You can't get hung. At this age, you don't get hung. You don't want to get crushed and then suffer the whole next day. No. Get the polar plunge the next day.
Yeah, right. Anyway, moving right along.
We're going to be at Duckworth too. I forgot to mention that. And I love all the people.
The 9 o'clock seating.
Yeah, I love all the people that work at Duckworth. So we'll be kind of spending, New Year's Eve with the folks that work at Duckworth.
If I did the 9 o'clock seating, I'd be face down in the food by 9:30. I'd be struggling to keep my head up. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can do it, all the power to you.
If you, it's just what I'll probably do, because I'll probably get up at 4 or 5 in the morning. I will take a little nap. I'll just lie down for half an hour, and that will help.
Oh, afternoon naps.
Yeah.
Afternoon naps after you turn 40. It's a pretty good thing.
Yeah.
If you can pull off an afternoon nap, this point of your life.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you were young and you're like, for me, I wanted everything loud. I wanted the music on 100. I wanted to stay out as late as I could. I wanted to get after everything I could get after. And now, I'm like, I want peace. Yeah. I want to chill out. Yeah. It's crazy.
Like my son's 20 years old. He leaves in the morning. We'll say, like yesterday, he didn't work. He left the house at 7:30. I didn't see him until 9:30 at night. He just putting around doing this, that, and the other thing. Oh, I was with so and so for a little while, and we did this, and we did that, and then I did this and did that. And
for 14 hours.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, all right.
Oh, okay. Look at this. I got an email from Paulie Walnuts, just came in. And we'll see what he has to say. If he's going to lambaste me or quit again. Paula Fontero, Cox. Sorry about no politics rule. So he acknowledges that he messed up. There you go. After we just got done with the mayors. Okay, I'm going to defend ahead of time for the people that say we don't do politics and we just did the podcast with the mayor. That, to me, is not politics, because she talked about her intention to resign. This is not going to better her political career or anything like that.
This is not pro Democrat or pro Republican.
That's right.
Anti one or the other.
She's talking about her intention to resign. Yeah. We didn't give any next person a leg up or leg down or anything like that. So that's me defending the node politics
all,
group.
All the 200 emails that you're going to get about
that. Well, I don't know. You know, I also say, when I say no politics, if I tell politicians, if the politician is out and they're in some place and they're doing something fun that doesn't have to do with politics, that gets on the blog as well. Right. So.
Like Senator Tarr just did the toy drive.
Yeah, there's nothing political.
Right, there's not political. And Melissa Cox at our party on the stripper pole. Right. That we don't talk about that.
Oh, no. Poor Melissa.
Every podcast. She's taken over the Brothers Brew every podcast topic. Yeah. So anyway, I hope... So this will be our last podcast for 2014.
It is.
Right?
That's right.
I'm happy I got this prestigious panel with me here. It's been great. This year we did more podcasts than any other year. I want to keep up the momentum. And over the winter we'll probably be doing them two a week, because when things get slow at the dock, we'll probably bang out a couple a week.
Except for the first week of January.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so
we all need a break.
Right.
Yeah, well, so
I'm going to Santa Monica too in early January.
Very nice.
So the team won't get reassembled until yeah. later in the month.
Visit my beautiful daughter out there. So, very excited.
Live. Yeah. Here we go. All right, happy 2014, everybody. Thank you for Mayor Kirk earlier coming in. Thank you, Kim Smith, being here today. Thank you, Toby Pett, for all your contributions on the podcast. And Frankie Chilino, surprise, popping in. Thanks for coming, Frank.
Yeah, I thought this was over. That's why I came.
He was hoping.